say good morning to each one of you and pray the Word of God's going to bless you and help you today. We're looking at the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, if you got your Bible. Mark 16, if you're able to turn there. What a day of worship it is, a day when we worship and celebrate the risen Savior. And we're going to look at some things here in Mark's gospel, Mark's account, maybe flip over to another page or two and see what God would have us see about that glorious event. There's never been another event like it. There'll never be another event again until Jesus returns like the glorious resurrection. You know, if it's something about this time of year when we celebrate His resurrection, other times we celebrate His birth. But I tell you, the focus every day should be upon the Lord. And when God saves you, that's where our focus should be and will be when we're truly saved. Now, maybe some of you today are wrestling with a matter of salvation. I remember a time like that when God was dealing with me. The Spirit of God was calling me. I remember that unsettled feeling in my heart. I wanted to be saved. God was calling. See, no man wants to be saved. The Spirit of God calls him. And then he wants to be. And then there's this transition of how God does it. I remember specifically how God, he piqued my interest in the Word of God before he saved me. I remember going to the bookstore looking to buy a Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible. Sure didn't know what kind of copy of the scriptures to get. Just a 19-year-old kid trying to find his way around. But I knew I wasn't interested in so many things. I wasn't interested in the party life anymore. I wasn't interested in what me and my friends had been doing. I wasn't interested in the things of fornication and partying and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't interested anymore because God had woke me up to His glorious call. I wasn't interested in sin. I was interested in Christ. You know, this is what salvation is. And when God reveals Himself, like we're going to read about today, when God reveals Himself to you and wakes you up to the truth of the gospel, and He calls you unto Himself by His marvelous grace. See, people think today that salvation's what we do, but it's what God does. And so when we surround ourselves and submit ourselves to the Word of God, and here's what I mean by that, when we go hear the Word, then Romans 10:17 comes into play. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God began to impart faith into my heart, and God began to call me unto Himself. And we got another place there in Romans that confirms this truth that we're saying here. It's the goodness of God, Romans 2:11 said. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance, Romans 2:4. Romans 2:11 said there's no respect to persons with God. I like that too, don't you? There's no respect to persons with God. You know what that means? God will call you if you're wealthy or poor. God will call you if you're black or white. God will call you if you're bond or free. God will call you if you're educated, uneducated. None of those things matter. God's not interested in the things and the symptoms of our life and those things that we have to deal with and the things we were born with. You said, preacher, I've been behind the eight ball all my life. Christ has no eight ball in His flock. When God saves a person, he's truly saved. And he or she truly saved, and the one of his, and they're prepared for the heaven. You said, preacher, I got a record. Doesn't matter. We all got records over there until Christ washes them away. Until God saves us, we all have a record. And it's a long one. Barabbas had a record. But Barabbas went free. Thank God. We are just modern day Barabbases. Christ died where we could go free. And so we all have a rap sheet. And we all got problems. You said, preacher, there's monsters in my closet. We all got those too. But Christ saves and Christ calls. You know, I remember this. I didn't know would God save somebody as wicked as me. I didn't know if God would call somebody like me, unchurched all his life, knew nothing about the truth, knew nothing about what was right, had murder and all kinds of envy in my heart. But the Spirit of God called. And when Christ called, we can come. Now, we can't come till He does call. And that's what John 6:44 said. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. And so there has to be a drawing. God has to call you, but when He calls, when the invitation doors open, we come. And Jesus said this, remember the place over in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me." And that's what we're going to read about here today, how God came and revealed himself unto those that believed. Look in the 16th chapter, and we're going to begin to read here and look at this place. We're going to find a good place to start. "And when they looked," verse 4, "they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was great. And entered into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen, he's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go ye away, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." We're going to come back to that. We're going to key in on that just a moment. "And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them." Do you see it? Boy, something about the heart of man that just can't grasp the marvelous things of God. Some of you today, you don't believe God will save you. You don't believe God can save you. Some of you don't even believe God's in the business of saving sinners. But he is. "And they went and told it to the residue, neither believed they them. And afterward he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." Father, take the word of God today and speak it to every heart. Open hearts with it, Lord. God, use it, God, I pray, to pierce the minds of the unbeliever. God, those today that are traveling, they're en route. Those today that are work. Those today that just, Father, they're just listening to the word. I pray the Spirit of God do something special in their life. I pray the Holy Ghost would reach down into the depths of that heart. And God, call them. God, speak faith to them and cause them to believe. Outside of you, Father, we cannot be saved. Salvation's of the Lord. Jonah found that out the hard way. Salvation's of God. Father, do it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Jonah said it. He said, "Salvation's of the Lord." He said, "From the belly of hell I cried." Jonah said, God showed up. And there, God rescued him. And not only did he rescue him with the whale, Jesus said it in Matthew 12:40. "And even as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, and even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth." 3 days and three nights. Now listen, we don't have time to get into this stuff, but Jesus took the picture of Jonah and he spoke about it, and he used that as a tool that we could understand Christ would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's not two and a half. That's not one and three quarter. That's 3 days and three nights. Jesus was very clear. And so as God raised him on the first day of the week, and the angels were sitting there, and here as they came in, we know that the women came, and they were coming to adorn the body of Jesus with the ointments and the precious things, and he was gone. And then, of course, Peter came and John came. But here, Mark gives us the order of how that happened in his account. And so he's talking about it. First, Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. He said, "Preacher, I've got problems on top of problems." Mary had seven devils that lived in her. And Jesus saved her and delivered her and brought her out. Now, I'm going to tell you, it takes more than a program to break the yoke. It takes more than AA or AAA. It takes more than any of those things. It takes more than rehab. All those things are good, I suppose, but it takes more than that. It takes the power of God to cast out demons. It takes the power of God to save and set the captive free. That Gadarene demoniac didn't need a program. They had done tried all the programs on him, and the last program they had was they were binding him with chains and fetters, but he couldn't. They couldn't hold him. They couldn't contain him. He was so full of hell, so demon possessed, he'd break the chains and fetters. And so we find it right here that Mary had seven devils live within her. People said, "Preacher, I don't think demon possession's real." It's really real. And so it's more than real. And it's the problem. It's the problem with the culture today. When we see people shoot up our theaters, our schools, our precious babies, and we saw it right here in my hometown, where a mad killer came through the streets and killed 10 people in one afternoon in March, killed 10 people that died that had no idea that today would be their last day. This afternoon would be their last trip to the store. It would be their last day at work, their last ride home. It would be the last time they would see their family when they left in the morning. They never saw them again. And many were attempted to be killed. And so we find it here when these things happen, people today say, "Well, you know, it was something that happened in his background." That's right. It's demon possession. Mary had seven demons that lived within her, and Christ set her free. I'm going to tell you, he's the only one who has power to break the yoke of the devil. And so Jesus said he come to destroy the works of the devil. I like that. And he wants to destroy the works of hell in your life. You said, "My drug addiction's real. My marijuana addiction's real. My beer, my whiskey, my alcohol. All these things are real, preacher." That's right. And Mary's problems were real too. And God saved her. And God delivered her. And here she is at the tomb. Here she is looking for the body, the precious body of a resurrected Christ. And you know why she loves the Savior? Because God delivered her and saved her and set her free. The only reason today you don't love the Savior is because you haven't been saved. When he saves you, you'll love him. When he saves you, you'll adore him. When he saves you, you'll worship him. Thank God, you'll shout the victory shout. You'll be as fervent about Christ, I pray, as you was all those things of sin, Mary was. And she's looking for the body of the Lord Jesus. And here, watch now, she went and told them that had been with them as they mourned and wept. You know why they're mourning and weeping? They've watched their Savior be crucified. They've watched Jesus die the horrible death. They've watched him on a cross. And so we know John watched him. Now where the 11 were and what they saw, we don't know. Maybe they saw it from a distance, we don't know. But I'm telling you, they know Christ died. He died a crucifixion death. The awfulest Roman death one could die. And so they seen that. They're mourning and weeping. They don't think Jesus is going to get up. He said, "Preacher, how can you be so sure?" When they told them they got up, they didn't believe it. And so here, watch now, the word said they believe not. And after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them. Now Luke gives us the account here of the two men that walked from the village of Emmaus. And we assume that it's these two men walking and went into the country. And so Jesus spent time with them. Jesus walked with them. They said, "Did not our heart burn within us when Christ spoke those marvelous, magnificent words of how the Scripture prophesied of himself?" They said, "Did not our heart burn within us? And did not we know there was something special here?" And they believed. And so the word said they went and he went and told it unto the residue. Now that's the 11. Remember that Judas is gone. Judas has went out and hung himself. You know why he hung himself? Because he gave himself over to the devil. He sold himself for 30 pieces of silver. He did the devil's bidding. He did the devil's work. And I'm going to tell you something about Judas. Judas was called by Christ. When Jesus called the 12 in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, he called 12. He didn't call 11. He called 12. When he anointed them and sent them out to preach, Judas was one of them that he called and anointed and sent out to preach. And I'm going to tell you, this brings light to Matthew 22:14, where Jesus talked about those that were bidden to the marriage feast and those that would not come. And so he said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that there might be guests in my house. Jesus was going to have people sitting at the marriage supper table. But he didn't say you'd have to be one of them. I'm going to tell you, life's full of choices. Salvation is the grace of God, the call of God. But here in 22:14, Jesus spelled it out. For many are called, but few, F-E-W, we preached this a while back in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. Few are saved. Few, not everybody gets in. You said, preacher, God called me one time. I wonder if he'd really save me. Yes, he'd save you. But not everybody comes. And listen, it's people say, well, I saw Judas. I heard a message Judas preached. That's not going to save Judas. Judas is in hell today. Judas sold himself out to the devil. Judas, now listen, I told you God called Judas. I told you that Judas preached, but I never told you Judas was saved. Jesus said that Judas was a devil from the beginning. Jesus said that what thou doest, do quickly. He knew who Judas was. But it's an illustration. It's a type of Matthew 22. For many are called, but few were chosen. Listen, anybody can pick up a Bible today, get on the street corner and preach. That's not going to save them. And so people say, well, preacher, I've done those things like Matthew 7. We prophesied in thy name. Remember this place? 7:20-21, Jesus said, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. So how do we know Judas? We know him by his fruits. We know him. We see him. And Jesus said, for in that day many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in thy name. Judas did. And we cast out devils in thy name. Judas was there. He watched demons being cast out. And he may have even tried to participate. That's not going to save him. And in thy name we have done many. Watch this. I'm talking about a man that sat and listened to the intimate words of the Lord Jesus. He heard Christ's words. He heard those Olivet discourses. He heard the Savior as he preached. He saw the Savior heal. He saw him deliver. He saw him at the pool of Bethesda when he took that man lame for 39 years and caused him to walk, said, take up your bed and walk. He watched it. He saw it, but it would not and could not save him. That's not salvation. He said, preacher, I've been in church all my life. Don't make you saved. I preached, preacher. That won't save you. Only Christ can save you. And here, Judas, what happened? He left this world lost. He's in a devil's hell today. He's damned and doomed. And so we see him. He went out and hung himself. He hung himself. His bowels burst asunder, is what the Word of God said. He fell headlong. And so we see Judas's fate. And watch this. People today will piddle and play. They'll be around the things of God and around the people of God and never be saved and die lost. How sad that is. But it happens. And so we see it here. None of these things can save us. Preaching won't save us. Teaching Sunday school, you said, preacher, I've worked in a nursery. I know I must be saved. I've led the RAs and the GAs. I've worked the PA. I've done all these things. I have to be saved. I've been there. I swept. I'm the one got the cobwebs down. I'm the one that kept the pews cleaned off, got the crumbs and all those things out from under. I did that, preacher. It cannot save you. I was was the treasure. It will not save you. Judas was a treasure too. Isn't that amazing? People said, "Preacher, I'm too worried about my money, and for that reason, I can't give my heart to Christ." Well, I'm going to tell you how worried Jesus was about it. He was so worried about it, he let a thief tote the sack. Judas carried the bag, and Jesus knew he was a thief when he gave it to him. And so we see it. None of those things can save you, but what will save you? Believing on Christ. Believing with the heart, not the mouth. Listen, Christ has had so much lip service, he don't know what to do with any more of that. It's not lip service that'll save you. It's Christ. Believe in Christ. And watch now. These 11 could not wrap their heads around the fact that Jesus did what he said he'd do. Now, some of you today can't believe that. You don't think he's coming back in a cloud. You don't think he's coming back with his church with him. You don't think that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. You can't wrap your head around that. You said, "Preacher, I just cannot believe." But you must believe. And so we're going to see this in Thomas's life here in a few minutes, if time will permit. Well, watch this place. And we're moving on now. God saved Mary. And here she is, a worshiper of the Lord Jesus. You know what God wants from you? Worship. People say, "Well, I've got too much to be saved. I'd lose all my belongings." Why? Why would you? God gave them to you. Where do you think you got them from? If God wanted them, he'd have kept them. He's the one who gave them to you. But you think it's your hard work. You think it's your wits. You think it's what you've done. But it's what God's done. God said, "Every beast of the forest is mine." Psalm 50 verse 10. "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And thank God he owns the hills too. It's all his. Everything we have is the Lord's. And so you think you've done it, and you don't want to give your heart to God. God's called you and dealt with you and spoke to you. I love it when the Holy Ghost speaks. And he's speaking to some of you today. You know why? Because the truth of God is a piercer. It's a divider. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder the soul, the spirit, the joints of the marrow. And Paul said, I give Paul credit for Hebrews. Hebrews 4:16 is where we're preaching from. Or 4:12 rather, verse 12. And he said that even, what is it? What is the Word of God? It's sharper. It's piercing, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow. And is a discerner. You know why? You know why our heart rate goes pitter-patter when the Word of God comes and we're not lined up with it? We're not in tune with God. Some of you today saved you out of the will of God. And so you know what happens? The Word of God makes you uncomfortable. Now, you're not all out of the will of God, are you? No. But we know when we go mass media, there's a percentage of people that's unsaved. There's a percentage of people that's backslid out of God's will. And so God's wanting to say something to everybody. I love the scatter barrel approach. You know why? Because it says something to all of us. I love when preachers preach that broadcasted message that the Word of God comes to all the hearers. I love that. I love that. I get fed. I get ministered to. I love preaching. I love to be under preaching. I want to hear preaching. God chose preaching. It's the foolishness of preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21 said, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so God uses it. And watch now. Here they couldn't believe. And he appeared in another form. And then he went and told it to the residue. Neither believed they them. You know, we're talking about the resurrection. Jesus was raised. And boy, they just can't. They can't. They want to. I trust they want to. But their little old weak hearts just won't let them grab this thing yet. Now, these are all saved people we're talking about. They're all saved people, but they're just trying to get a hold. And you know, this happens to us because of our human element. This happens to us where there's some things is harder to wrap around than others. But watch now. In verse 14, afterward he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat. And so these are the 11. This is where we left off talking about Judas a while ago. And he upbraided them. Judas is not there, by the way. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not. Now you know what? He scolded them a little bit. He said, "Fellas, my God, I've been with you 3+ years. We've talked about these things. This is what I preached over yonder. This is what we said that night when the rainstorm come in. These are the things we dealt with. Why can't you believe? Why can't you grab a hold? You know what the Spirit of God's saying to some of you today? Why won't you believe God's Word? Why won't you step up by faith? You're saved. These men were saved. You're saved by the marvelous grace of God. But God is calling you to step up by faith and do something. Put something aside. Begin something. Start something. Say something. Be something. God's calling you. God's speaking to you. I remember the time when God called me to preach. I remember it so specifically. You know why? Because when God brings conviction to our heart, we don't forget that. It's something that just stamps our inside and it just leaves its mark. It leaves its mark on our heart. That's why we don't forget the call of God. And that's why we don't forget the wooing of God, the drawing of God. We don't forget that. And people say, well, how is it? What about these men? And they can't believe. And they won't do what Jesus said. I'm going to tell you, God's got a way of getting you past that hinders you. And this faith, this lack of faith, although they knew the truth of the gospel, we're talking about Christ's resurrection. They knew that Christ, as he upbraided them, they knew who he was. And Thomas said, remember, he's not there right then. And there's a time Thomas is missing and he didn't see this event. And he said, except I stick my finger in his nail holes, and except I thrust my fist in his side, I will not believe. And Jesus appeared to him at a point in time, and he said, Thomas, thank God, I'm glad that Jesus, he knows all of our thoughts. Now that's a scary thought, isn't it? He knows. But people said, preacher, I don't want the Lord to know my thoughts. I'm glad he knows all of our thoughts. He knows our innermost being. He knows the things we say within ourselves. And Thomas said this publicly, and Jesus didn't need anybody telling, and he didn't need anybody to open the door when he walked in. And he came to Thomas and he said, Thomas, he said, stick your finger in my nail print. You don't think the cross was real? That was a glorified Christ that was resurrected. But that glorified body still had the nail holes. He said, preacher, we're going to know each other in heaven. Those are not going to be little floating spirits. Those are going to be glorified bodies in heaven. And yes, we will know even as we are known. And so our identification will be real. Jesus had his identification in his hands. He had his identification, that glorified body, in his side. And he said, I'm going to tell you, this is great because it gives us great clarity of understanding what a resurrected body is. And he said, Thomas, he said, thrust it. He didn't say just poke it in there a little bit. He said, thrust it in my side and be not faithless, but believing. You know where we need to be? We need to be believing the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, they had to believe God that he was raised, and they had to believe God when he ascended. They watched him go up in a cloud, and the way he's coming back is the same way. And they watched him as he went, and they watched him as he ministered for 40 days. That was 40 days. He was with his church, his disciples. They saw him. Infallible proofs, Luke said, for 40 days. God raised him. But then watch this in the 15th verse, last thing I want to say. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. I want you to key in on this verse 16 a minute. Listen, the job's to preach the gospel. It's what we're doing. The job's to get the Word of God out. It's why we go into the prison. It's why we preach it in the church houses. Preach it everywhere we go. Preach it on the radio. We've got great TV preachers. I didn't say they's all great, but I know a couple of them's great. Great people out there getting the Word of God out in all types of forms, written letters, what have you. And so the gospel's going forward. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now let's get down to the personal message. The personal message is, are you saved? Not your mom and daddy. We're not talking to them right now. We're talking to you. Are you saved? Are you ready to go? If the mad gunman comes to your workplace, and by the way, this man did go back to his workplace and is where he lost his life. He went in there to kill his former boss. That's where he died. But he killed a lot of people on the way. Let me ask you this. If the mad gunman comes to your place, some of them were killed on the front porch. Some of them were killed walking down the street. Some of them were killed in the C-store. Some of them were killed on the road. But if the mad gunman comes to where you are you saved? Are you ready? Are you going to spend eternity with Christ or eternity in hell? The only two choices, the only two places we spend eternity. There's not 3, 4, 5, or 6. Listen, there's not some way out of all this, preacher. I don't like this kind of talk. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." You know what that means? That means damned even as Judas was damned. That means destroyed. That means condemned. That means in hell for eternity. Yes, hell's still hot. Heaven's still sweet. The cross is still real. Christ still saves. And he wants to save you. Father, today would you take and draw the hardest heart. God, I pray, would you reveal himself to you? Lord, the choir singing the song says, "I cannot find my way without you." God, without your helping hand, what would we do? Lord, we can't get out of this life alive without you. We have to be saved. We have to be born again. We have to love the Word of God. We have to repent. Jesus made it clear. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Don't leave one stone unturned. God wants to save you today. Father, would you do it? Lord, I trust. You're calling and speaking to hearts right now. Oh, God, give them space to repent. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Father, do it today. The Spirit of God makes me want to get saved all over again if that was biblical, but it's not. God, I pray you call a sinner unto yourself. I trust you're calling one right now. God, you've held that nail-scarred hand on a resurrection morning toward a sinner. God, you've called them by your glorious grace and you're speaking to them. Come, come. God's calling you, sir. You, ma'am. God's saying, come. I'll save you. I'll forgive you. I'll restore you. Bless God, I'll heal you, I'll help you, I'll touch you. God will, God can, God wants to. Would you come? Would you reach toward the nail-scarred hand of the resurrected Savior? Do it today. Paul said, "Today's the day of salvation. Behold, now's the accepted time. Today's the day." God's calling. Come, in Jesus' name.